Good evening. I well remember the first time I celebrated All Saints as an Episcopalian, as a Christian. We were gathered together on November 1st at a lengthy choir rehearsal. All Saints Sunday fell later, a little bit later in the week that year, and we were practicing some challenging music. We had John Villiers Stanford's beautiful setting of Justorum Anime, and so we sang, "The souls of the righteous are in the hands of God, and no torment can ever touch them. In the eyes of the foolish, they seemed to have died, but they are at peace." And then we went on through several more pieces, and we ended with Balm of Gilead. There is a balm in Gilead to soothe the sin-sick soul. And after 2 hours of that, I went home, and the phone rang, and my mother told me that while we had been singing, my stepfather's heart had stopped. Something happened that night or the next, which I've not tried to talk about before. This could be a bad mistake. But I had a dream that we were back in the home in which I had grown up, the home in which my mother still lived. And my stepfather, Dick, and I were taking a walk, hand in hand, around the loop at the bottom of our street. It was nighttime. And it was drizzling, much as it was this morning. And the streets were slick, and they had a slight sheen. And as we walked along, he was singing a song that he had loved to sing to me since I was a child. And at length, we came to the halo of a street lamp. And I stepped into it, and he did not. And I turned around and looked, and he was smiling at me with a very sad smile. And I realized that I was going to have to let go of his hand and walk on. If you are here tonight at a service of remembrance, it is probably because you have had one of those moments in your life, time when there is someone with whom you would happily have shared all your days, who was not able to keep on walking beside you. Sorry. We practice that gesture of letting go every Sunday. When we come here and Emily or Jim or Matthew or I stands at that altar and we proclaim the news of Christ's death, and then we come forward one by one and we hold his body in our hands, and then we turn away and walk back to the land of the living, because our vocation is to live while we have been given time on this earth. We walk away, but behind it there spins out a thin filament of grace that binds us to Christ and to those who've gone before. I think maybe that filament of grace is behind the strange blessings that we just heard Jim read. Blessings poured out upon people whom, if we're honest, we would not want to be. The people who mourn, the people who are derided, the people who are desperate for justice, the people who crave peace with everything that is in them. Because every single one of those people has been touched by a love that will not die. Those who mourn live always between the living and the memory of the dead. Those who hope for peace are the ones who can look even at the enemies who are harming them and wish them a blessing. Those who are pure in heart are the ones who see and know how broken this world is. Every single one of those people lives stretched between the pain we live in and the joy of being alive. A few weeks ago, I was in Ireland, and our first day there, we went to visit a 6th-century monastic foundation that had been a center of culture and learning for 1,000 years. And when we got there, I was puzzled. There was an ancient church. In fact, there were several ancient churches, and there were beautiful standing crosses. And in between them, there were graves. There were graves of people who'd lived there in the 6th century, in the 7th century, in the 10th. But there were also graves of people from 1950 and 1980 and 2013. And I could not understand why someone had let this ancient holy site be, forgive me, it seemed to me like junked up with all of these modern graves. And I was puzzled. And then a few days later, we went to another holy site, also from about the 6th century, and it too was a graveyard. It had been in continual use for about 1,400 years. And every once in a while, they would dig another hole and add another person. And if there was an ancient grave marker, they would just toss it in, while local archaeologists strained not to try to grab the 8th century stone and study it. And it happened at site after site, every place we went. There were graves all around these ancient places. And I was slow on the uptake. First, I thought about our columbarium, the desire to bury the people we love in ground that we know to be holy. And then eventually I realized that I had it backwards. It was the bones of the dead that were making those places holy. Because every single one of those graves was the marker of a love that had not died, that would never die. And we who mourn are not only walking away from those we have loved. We are also, by the grace of God, walking toward them.